Okay, so Parsage Vayeshev. So the first one, Vayishma Reuven Vayatzileyu Miyodom. Right? So what was the Hatzola? How did Reuven rescue Yosef? He threw him into the boar. Right? And the Loshen Apostle. Says the pasuk, "Vayomer alem Reuven al tishpechu dam hashlichu oisa labor hazeh asher bamidbar ve'ad al tishlechu voi." Right, leman hatzil oisa miyodom lahashivu eloviv. The pasuk says that's what he wanted. He wanted to go ahead and to save and to rescue Yosef. So what did he do? So hashlichu oisa labor hazeh. Right. Now, when the pasuk says what kind of a boar was it, so it says the pasuk vayikachu vayishlichu isu aboira veabor reik in b'mayim. So Chazal in the Gemara Broch in the Gemara Shabbos say aboir reik in b'mayim, and Rashi brings down in b'mayim aval nechoshim vakrovim yeshpoi. I mean, it was a pit that had no water but had full of scorpions and snakes. The issue is, the halacha is that if you throw somebody into a pit full of scorpions and snakes, you assume the guy's dead. I mean, even if you didn't see the guy dying, you could assume that he's dead. So how can the pasuk say that he's rescuing him? So on that, the Arachaim brings down, and that's the Loshna Zohar, that the Zohar asks indeed this question. How is that possible? So says the Zohar, you know why? Because Yosef was not Chayav Misa. He didn't deserve to die. But, so therefore, if he didn't deserve to die, then the Choshen Vakrovim is no snake or scorpion can kill somebody if he doesn't deserve to die. However, the brothers, they could have killed him even if he didn't deserve to die. Says, that's why it says the Zohar in this Pasuk, therefore a person should always be, what you call, should prefer falling into the hand of scorpions than the hands of enemies. Because the enemies can destroy you and kill you even if you don't deserve. So this is the famous Zohar that Rav Chaim HaKadosh says is a Madia, even though it doesn't quote the Zohar says exactly it. Now the question is, first of all, this is a big chidush, because we know that the Chayv Zalvav already says that no one can hurt somebody else if he doesn't get to be hurt. The same way you can't help somebody that doesn't deserve to be helped, you can't hurt somebody that doesn't deserve to be hurt. But for the Zohar is saying beferush that even though Yosef didn't deserve to die, and therefore the snakes didn't kill him, a person could have killed him, because a person has bechira. But the big pella, the big problem is that the gro, in Eretz Agro, is but Zulun the Misalant brings up a Shem Agro, that it's a mistake or people believe that somebody's bechira can affect somebody else, even though there's no gzera. Says the Gro, it's a toz biyad hanoshim. It's a mistake for people to believe such a thing. You cannot hurt somebody if he doesn't get to deserve to be hurt. The question, I mean, toz? It's a Zohar. Is the Zohar nor Pash? How can you say it's a toz? And the Netziv says, the Netziv brings down the Zohar in Nemek Dover, and says the Netziv, this is the idea in Daniel and Perek Vov. The story of Daniel is when Dariavish became the king, so he appointed 120 Hashd Arpanim, meaning those he appointed 120 advisors, and on top of them three top advisors, and among them was Daniel. The post says Daniel was used to debate and to win over the other two, and Daniel became the most important. So the people got very upset, and they decided to get him. So the Pasuk, the Perek in Daniel says they decided to go ahead and convince the king that nobody should allow me to pray, and anybody who would pray would be thrown to a pit of lions, to a den of lions. And they caught Daniel davening, and Daniel was, what you call it, the king decided to kill Daniel. So Dariavish tells Daniel, before he puts him into the den of lions, says, listen, the God that you have prayed for, may he come and rescue you. So it says in the passage that he went and he put him in the den of lions. Then he took a stone and he put the stone on top of that pit, and he actually put a seal on top of the stone. Why? That nobody should throw stones and stone him to death, Daniel to death. And the question asks the see for a second, who cares? He's in the den of lions. The lions are between him. So why was he worried that somebody else would go ahead and kill him? But the answer is very simple, according to the Zohar. Because he understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped Daniel. The one, that's what he told him. He told Daniel, may a God that you prayed for come and rescue you. But he can only help you where? from the lions, but he could not help him from the other people. So again, you see that the other people's Bechira trumps Hashgacha. And the question is, the Goyin says that that's not true. So how does it work? So Tzitzis Chaim brings down B'Shem Rav Dessler, that he asked him this question, but not legabi this, but legabi Ayin Hara. Says the aloha in Shulchan Aruch is that there is such a thing as Ayin Hara, meaning two people cannot have an aliyah, two brothers cannot have an aliyah after each other because of Ayin Hara. The aloha is that the Gemara says that you could go ahead and put your clothing, you cannot spread them out for your to get glory because of Ayin Hara. You could only do this for the clothing. So you see that there is such a thing as Ayin Hara. So yes, Rav Dessler, it doesn't make any sense. What does Ayin Hara mean? If you deserve to get punished, you get punished. If you don't deserve, you don't deserve. So how does that mean? So says Rav Dessler, Yisoid in the Pchaim. Rav says that the Yisoid here also applies the following. Clearly, nobody can hurt you if you don't deserve to be hurt. But the idea is the following. The quid pro quo is the following. If you give somebody the power by antagonizing him, you actually, the oinish, the mida keneged mida is, if you give him the power, he has power over you and he can trump Hashgacha. It's a quid pro quo. Says Le Moshe, Ayin Hara. If you, for you, it's so important somebody else's opinion that you go ahead and you flounder for somebody else, so that person indeed, if it's so important for you, you're giving him that much importance, he'll have such control over you that he can actually hurt you. It's not that he is going against Hashgacha. The Hashgacha of Hashem is good for that. That the quid pro quo is your mindset that you did create the monster. The same idea is by Daniel. I think Daniel is very simple. He antagonized the people out there. He hurt them, and therefore they decided to get back to him. So he caused the enemy. He created the enemy. If he created the enemy, the quid pro quo is the enemy have power over him. And the same thing is by Yosef. By Yosef, the idea is since he antagonized his brothers, the Bosom Ro and the Chalomis, therefore, says Rav Dessler, the way he gave power to the brothers to hurt him. But the question that's here is, doesn't make much sense, is Bishlam in all the cases, okay, you didn't have to do it, and you gave power, quid pro quo, if you give power, antagonize somebody else can antagonize you. So that is the Hashgacha. But here, Yosef didn't do anything wrong. He had the dreams, and the dreams were a prophecy, so he had to relay the prophecy. If he saw the brothers doing something wrong, he would have to go ahead and tell the father. So what did he do wrong? Why, by doing that, did he create a monster? He gave the brothers power over him. Hilchora, that is only true if you do that out of your own volition. If actually you have a mitzvah to do so, why does that happen? So that's question number one. Question number two. The Rambam says in Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet of Hilchos Yishus that before Matan Torah there was no such thing like Kiddushin. There's no such thing like Kiddushin. People went, and if they found a girl that they liked, they married her and they let her go. After Matan Torah, today there is such a thing as Kiddushin, that a person cannot have relations with a woman unless he's Mekadosh her first. And says the Rambam, if a person doesn't do Kiddushin, if it's a Pnuya, the Rambam Shita is that he gets Malkus for the Yisrael of Tia Kadesha. The Yisrael of Tia Kadesha means to marry someone without Kiddushin. Kadesha means somebody without Kiddushin. And the question that everybody asks is, look at the Gemara in Sotah. The Gemara in Sotah says that when Yehuda met Tamar, he just didn't have relations with her. He really checked her. He asked her, are you Jewish or not? She says, I'm a Megioris. He said, did you go to the mikveh? He checked all the lochs because the Shvotim kept called to Rakula. If according to the Rambam, when you marry somebody without Kiddushin, Yoiver alav latia kadesha, how did Yehuda go ahead and have relationships with Tamar without Kiddushin? He checked if she was a Nida, he checked if she was a Gioiris, because he was trying to keep Kotra Kula. Why didn't he keep the Isher of Desha? So says the Breskrov, a Givaldiker Chidush, that the Isur, and by the way, the Rav Magid says, that how do you know that before Matan Torah there was no Kiddushin? From the Yehuda of Tamar. The Yehuda and Tamar, you see that he married her without any Kiddushin. So you see there's no Kiddushin before Matan Torah. One second. The question is, Hainuach, how did he do that? Says the Briskrov, the Yisulotia Kedesha is only Chal if there is a Maisa Kedushin. When there is Kedushin in the world, to have relations with somebody without Kedushin, that's Lotia Kedesha. But in a situation there is no Kedushin yet, there is no Yisulotia Kedesha. So that's the Pshat by Yehuda. Since Kiddushin, the concept of Kiddushin only comes after Matan Torah, because before Matan Torah, it's not possible. Hashem didn't give the power to people to make Kiddushin. So the mitzvah doesn't exist. The Isur is only if there is Kiddushin, you can't marry somebody without Kiddushin. And that is the story. So therefore, says the Rav HaMagid, here is a typical case of Yehuda, that he married somebody without Ma'aseh Kiddushin, because that was the norm before Matan Torah. Ah, they kept Kol HaTorah Kula. That's right. They kept Kol HaTorah Kula means that the halacha of the Torah is you cannot have relations with somebody if there is a possibility of Kiddushin. There's no possibility, there's no Isa. And the question is, what's Ma'aseh of Sin Labonim? So why does it tell what's important and why? What's the significance that Malchus HaMashiach comes from such a thing? That's number two. And the number three is that in the halacha there is always a very unique feature. That in many halachas you have eight concepts and always one is very different than the other seven. Two examples. By Tzedakah, says the Ram, says the eight Madregas of Tzedakah. And there is one which is higher than all the other one, is lemalash in lemalah mimena. It's not that you give tzedakah to a poor person, you make sure that somebody doesn't become poor. It's not that you help a poor person, you make sure that he never becomes poor. So says the Rambam, that's aloha, is that if you see somebody that, if you don't help him, will get poor, by helping him is the highest form of tzedakah. If you go to a makolot, if you go to a store to buy something, because you know that there is some kind of a chain store here, and the chain store will drive this guy out of business, and mimil he will become an oni, by preventing him from becoming an oni, is the highest form of tzedakah. So here you see again, the seven forms of tzedakah, helping a poor person in different ways. One way, which is the highest, which is number eight, making sure that he doesn't become an oni. Interesting. The same idea is by treifas. Says the Rambam, there are eight treifas. The Rambam in the Krishna said eight treifas. Eight types of treifas. But one of them is unique, because that's Mefurash in the Torah, and that's Drusa. Drusa means if an animal was attacked by another animal, and he got hurt, that is called the Drusa, and that's a treifa that is different than the treifas. That Sofik, says the Rambam, Sofik Drusa is also, every other Sofik treifa is Mutar. So here again is a drusa. Every other suffix is a sickness of the animal itself. If the animal is missing something, if he has a hole in the lungs, anything else, internal sicknesses. The sickness caused by others is the number eight, and that's completely different. It's Mefurash and the Pasuk, Sofik is also, and is a sickness not which is internally caused or naturally caused, is attacked by somebody. What's the significance? The answer is very simple, because the Hazois are the same way. When the Kohen goes to Mazin Yom Kippurim, it's always Achaz Lemala and Sheva Lemata. But what is the significance? Why is it called Achas Lemala? And what's the unique characteristic of Achas Lemala, one of them by Tzedakah, that the person not only is an Oni, is the one who is not an Oni, trying to prevent him from becoming an Oni. And here is not a sickness which is inherent, it's a sickness caused by others. Why does that relate to the number eight? Okay, so those two questions. So to answer all of this, I want to mention what Tzedek says in Takonas HaShovi, in the Machsheves Choratz. He says the following. What was the cheshbon of the brothers? That's in Takonas HaShov. What's the cheshbon of the brothers? That the brothers wanted to kill Yosef. What did Yosef do wrong? He says, you know what? Because if you look at Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, Avram is Midas HaChesed. Avram was not Mitos HaShlema. His family was not complete. He had somebody which distorted Midas HaChesed. What is the distortion of Midas HaChesed? It's Ishmael. What is the Midas of Ishmael? Chazal called this Akina Taiva Vakovit. The distortion of chesed is taiva. Why? Because chesed is expansion, giving. The idea is giving to others is chesed. Says the Guru in Mishle, if you do giving to yourself, which is the same act of giving, the same act of kindness, of largesse, but to yourself, that's called taiva. That's a distortion of chesed. So there was a distortion of chesed, which is taiva. Midas Adin, which is Esav, Yitzchok, Midas Adin, which is justice, contraction, to contract or constriction, or limitations is Yitzchak. And he has a distortion. There is a psoilus. What is the psoilus of Yitzchak? It's Esav, which is the concept of kina. Or kina, which is jealousy, which is in essence violence. The idea is that midas adin, to limit, to constrict it to yourself. If you do to others, that's violence, that's kina, that you don't want somebody to have something, that's kina. Now, what's keneged Yaakov Avinu, which is midas ha'emes? Yaakov Avinu blends the two. He blends midas ha'chesed of Avraham and midas ha'din of Yitzchak. That's why it's called Ish Tam Yishev Oyhalim. He sat in two tents, in the tent of Yitzchak and the tent of Avraham, which he blends midas ha'chesed and midas ha'din. That's Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu is called midas ha'rachamim, it's called midas ha'emes. What is the distortion of midas ha'emes? So you'd assume it's sheker, but it's not. The distortion of midas ha'emes, which is the ultimate sheker of the whole world, is kovet. That's why kina is keneged Esav, hatayv is keneged Avraham, and the kovet is keneged Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, the distortion of Yaakov is kovet. Now, why is the distortion kovet? Because what is emes? Emes is chesed and din. Din is the concept of desert, of deserving, of earning. That's koyche v'yitzim yadi. Once you blend with chesed, you realize that whatever you do is not really you. It's a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Life is a mixture of ishtadlus and bitochin. As much as you deserve control, control is a fallacy. All of control is a fallacy because life is only run by chance. So that blend is midas adi emes. Emes is to realize that chesed alone is not emes because you got to deserve. But deserving alone is not true. So that is kovod, is the antithesis of midas ha'emes. But not only that, says Rav Tzvi, the kovod is the distortion of midas ha'emes. Because what's emes? Mixing chesed and din. Chesed and din together prevent kovod. If chesed is taiva and din is violence, if you mix taiva, which is lust, and violence, you know what it comes out? It comes out something which is kovod. Because the deserve of kovod is the only thing that is a lust, is a desire, and is a violence. So if you mix chesed and din, which is a pristine form, it creates the emes, which is the antithesis of kovod. If you mix the distortion of each one, you take chesed into taiva, and you take din into kas, what comes out? Kovod. So that's the distortion. That's why kovod, what's the distortion of midas ha'emes, is not sheker. It's not partial emes, it's something which is called kovod. Kovod is something which is called emes merume. It's the emes which is not emes lamita, it's not pure emes. The brothers, when they saw that Yosef, the whole idea of the chaloimos, of control, that you control the brothers, and he was the tzaddik. Yosef is called Nezir Echov, the Pasuk calls him. He's the tzaddik of the brothers. He's the tzaddik Meikore. So people thought that because he's such a great tzaddik, he still actually thinks that he is really deserving. So they realized that this is the distortion of Yaakov. So they thought that the same way that Avraham had a psoilus, and Yitzchak had a psoilus, indeed Yaakov's psoilus is Yosef. Yosef represents destruction of the distortion of kovod. Because they thought that he is the ultimate concept of kovod, that this whole tzidkus deserves kovod. That's why you have such a thing, that a person achieves emes, the yetzahor is always kovod. Because emes is when you reach this perfection, which is din and chesed together, it's easy to distort and become something very destructive, which is kovod. And they thought that he is the psoilus of the two. Because the idea is that the midah of Yosef, which is the midah of Tzadik Meikore, which is that perfection, can easily transform itself into kovod. And the truth is that the midah of his, which is the midah of the Tzadik Meikore, that indeed you can achieve everything, the super achiever, the Nezir Echov, indeed he can come to kovod. As we've seen that by the Gemara says, why did Yosef die before his brothers? Because Shenohag Rabonus Lechov. He actually private Rabbonus, meaning he was bigger than his brothers. So this is what they believed of Yosef, and that Mida was there in Yosef. The tikkun of Yosef was through his life to realize that as much as he's achieved is really nothing. That's why you realize something amazing, that in the beginning, why does Yosef get hurt? Now he could understand what Rav Dessler says. Because he believed that he was a tzaddik mikor, that he actually earned it. So he believed in the koyach ha'odom and the koyach ha'bechira, because he believed that through his bechira he achieved everything. And that's why he thought, Hamaloich tim lechaleinu moshal tim shalbanu, and Rasi dibosam ra'alaviyam, when he saw that they did something wrong, he went after them. So it's the belief of the koyach ha'odom. Mida keneged mida, if you give such a koyach to bechira, he gave his brothers the koyach with their bechira to actually trump hashgacha. So says Rav Dessler, that's mida keneged mida. The only reason the brothers could hurt him, even though he didn't deserve to be hurt, is because that is how he believed in life. His tikkun throughout is to realize that as much as you do, it's really the chesed. As much din and achieving and earning, that's nothing. That is the avoid of Yosef. That's why throughout the parsha, now Yosef will go and say, when they say, okay, halo Elohim pitrinim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has pitrinim, biladai Elohim yanesh leporoi. And this is mamish, you see, at the end of the story of the brothers. The end, beginning of the brothers, of the story of the brothers, is where Yosef is at the mercy of the bechira of his brothers. When it comes to the end, in Perek Nun Posikutes, the Posuk says that the brothers were afraid of Yosef, and Yosef says, no, hatachas kimoni, meaning, am I under HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So says Rashi, hatachas kimoni. Says Rashi, "Atachel shema bimkoy moani bitmiya." Meaning, am I in the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu? Ima iti rotzel le'arelachem. If I would want to hurt you, klum ani yachod. Do you think I'm able to do it? The end of the tikkun of Yosef is when he acknowledges the brothers. I have no control. If I would want to hurt you, do you think you have the ability? Exactly the opposite. In the beginning, it starts when they have the ability to hurt him without him deserving. The end of the tikkun is when Yosef acknowledges. That's why that's the chibur, when Yosef is mechaber himself to Yehuda, which is the concept of the Baal Tshuva, the concept that no matter what you do, you can never do enough. And that's what he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chashov letoiva. So he says, what you did, even though you meant badly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant letoiva. So your bechira could never change the history of Klal Yisrael. And that's the tikkun of Losid Lovoi, that we have Mashiach ben Yehuda and Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef, which is the tzaddik mekor of the earning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu show the earning, deserving, giving, which is Midas HaYesoid, will not be miskayim. Because that takes away the kovet. The build for us to give the ultimate kovet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to try our best and to try that and to understand and acknowledge that as much as we try, we don't achieve that. So that's the tikkun. It starts the parsha with Bechira trumping Hashgacha, and the end of the tikkun of Yosef to the brothers is that Bechira can never trump Hashgacha. So that answers how Rashi actually is soiser what the Zohar says, but that's the tikkun of Yosef. We merely could understand that that's givaldic what the midah of it is. Midas habina. Bina are the multiple possibilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us to earn. Midas habina tells you. Midas habina tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gives us tests and he gives us tribulations, is not to test us for us chas v'shalom to fail. It's a test that's made for us to win. So as much as we win, it's not because we won, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us win. So once we acknowledge that, we realize that we can never fail. And that's the idea of the 7 and 1. One is something called Bina, which is the source of the next 7. The source is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the chance, but it gives us the chance not to be poor. It's a tzedakah. The whole tzedakah is not for us to be poor. It's to prevent us from being aniyim. So it's a tzedakah that's made for us to win, not for us to fail. The whole idea of that idea of Bina, which is the beginning of Midas Adin, but that's the tikkun of Midas Adin. That's exactly that dynamic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the chance to earn, but all the chance to earn is for us to earn. So in other words, the game is rigged. We have to acknowledge that it's not we are earning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a fallacy to allow us to think that we are earning, but He's the one giving us. In other words, this is not for the form of tzedakah is that is preventing us from becoming an oni, which is exactly the concept of treifas. The chiddush of bina is that every treifa, every defect, every blemish, it's not internal. It's the acknowledgement that every blemish is external. The same with the only treifa, which is the treifa of Freshes Batera, in was another animal text you makes a treifa. We is Ritzoneinu Lasa Ritzonecha. The concept that Kodesh Baruch Hu created an avodah that we are pristine meikori. If we fail, it's because it's something external. Once we acknowledge that this is what the avodah is, that we are here to succeed, that Kodesh Baruch Hu made us perfect, once you understand, so then you realize that the Bechira is a very limited thing. The only reason why Bechira works is because we are wired to succeed. Once you acknowledge that, you can never fail. So in Mela, that's why Achas Lemala, Vesheva Lemata, always Achas Lemala is the master plan, is Bina. What is the master plan? Two things. That is made for us not to become anim, and that every blemish is not internal, is not inherent, is external. Or in Mela, that's the idea of Malchus. Because Yehuda Mashiach comes from the story of Yehuda and Tamar. You know the message of Yehuda and Tamar is that there is Kiddushin, but Kiddushin only exists. The Isur Kedesha only exists if there is Kiddushin. If there is no Kiddushin, there is no Isur Kedesha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world that He gave us the chance to win. But if Chas V'Shalom we don't win, we're going to win anyway. So Mashiach is Gufa to tell us, as much as we have Bechira and earnings, our earning will never be enough. In Tzadik Baretz Asher Yaseh Toiv Leyechta, that's Yosef that he dies. The Chiddush of Yehuda is that there is a Yisur Kedesha. But the Yisur Kedesha is only as far as there is Maisei Kiddushin. If there is no Maisei Kiddushin, the Yisur Kedesha is Mutar. And we may let that by Mashiach ben David, the way how he's born, is exactly this idea of Bina. That we are wired to win. And if we are going to win in any case, tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Isur Kedesha is only as far as there is a Kiddushin. If there is no Kiddushin, the Isur Kedesha ceases to exist. That's the Tikkun Yosef. Yosef believed that with Maisei Bechira, you could achieve everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him that Maisei Bechira, he can't achieve everything. And afuch, if you believe so much in Maisei Bechira, in the end, you end up dying. Because Bechira can trump Hashgacha. You never want that. Once you believe that Bechira doesn't do it all, so then you give power to Hashgacha. And Hashgacha can lead your Bechira and can be a fail-safe on Bechira. So the Chiddush of Yehuda is that as much as Bechira that we have, as long as we know the limitations of Bechira, Bechira can never fail us or only succeed us. And that's the avoid of Mashiach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the end, will be a great Yibum. Mashiach is born with Yibum. Why? Because what's Yibum? Yibum means there is a dead person, and there's a resurrection of a dead person. All of Mashiach is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once we believe that we are wired to win, and therefore we really don't mean much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wired us to win, and Chas V'Shalom, something that was lost, overcome the Tchiyah, the Yibum, and that's the idea of Mashiach.